Looking once again to the Lord to be our helper, I would direct your attention to a word you will find in Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 21, and in the middle of verse 26, you will find these words, "This shall not be the same." Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 21, and in the 26th verse, in the middle of that verse, "This shall not be the same." Well, the question is, what will not be the same? You may be looking at your pathway this afternoon. You may be looking at the year just passed. You might be saying to yourself, "It's going to be just the same. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to be different." Well, this word this afternoon speaks to us that it's not going to be the same. You may be tempted, perhaps by the enemy of your soul, that it's going to be the same. But the word of God to us, I believe this afternoon, is this: it's not, this shall not be the same. And it is the word of God, it's not the word of man, as I said this morning. And so, we have this word, and what grace is needed, and what wisdom is needed, that it might be rightly divided, that those of us who have prayed before this service, we might receive something, something from God, something that will do our souls good, something that will build us up in our most holy faith, something that will establish us, something that will put us firmly upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Because that is what we need. That is what we need. This shall not be the same. You might say, well, it's been the same for years. I've been tried and I've been tempted in the same things. I seem to make the same mistakes. I seem to fall into the same sin. I seem to be plagued with the same unbelief. I seem to have little or no faith, no assurance. Well, the Lord says, this shall not be the same. Perhaps this year, poor sinner, God is going to lead you in such a way whereby your faith will be increased, whereby you will be established in that faith and stand firmly upon the rock, Christ Jesus. It is right that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, you may look back and say, but where's the growth? Am I growing? Or am I going backwards? Is my growth stunted? Am I learning more? Have I that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I destitute of these things? This shall not be the same. No, despite what your fallen heart says, despite what the enemy says, yes, there must be a growth. There must be this increase. For the Lord is building his church. He is performing his will. Yes, he has begun that good work of grace, and he will carry it on. It will increase. It will abound. He will bring it to pass. Yes, thus saith the Lord. Yes, this shall not be the same. Or you perhaps look at the life that you're leading. Perhaps you want to be delivered from the power of sin, the power of the tempter, the power of this bewitching world. Or it may just be this afternoon that you don't want to be delivered. You're happy with your sin. You're happy with the world. You're happy with all those things that your carnal heart is taken up with. And perhaps you think that it's going to be the same this year. In fact, perhaps you think you're going to have more of it. But you see, this year might be the year when the Lord meets with you in the way and stops you in your mad career of sin. But you say, surely, if we're found in the house of God this afternoon, we're not amongst those that are rushing headlong to hell. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're sowing to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we're sowing to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so this shall not be the same. You think of Saul of Tarsus. There he is, persecuting the church of God. He's going on just doing the same as he's always done. But that particular year, it was not to be the same. The Lord met him on the road to Damascus. And he brings him off his high horse. And he lays him low at his feet. And he speaks but a word to him. And what is the response? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he lays low proud nature. He brings us down. He brings us to his feet. He brings us to the place of submission. And there is such power in his word. There is such authority. His voice, he spake and it was done. Yes, the creator of all things. And so this is how he needs to deal with that sinner, that wayward sinner. That one that thinks he can go on in his own way. He can do just as he pleases. He can walk in his own wisdom, in his own strength, in his own understanding. But the Lord says, this shall not be the same. This will be different. This will be different when I meet with you. You will see. You will prove that you have no strength in and of yourself to do anything right. You have no ability. You have no desire except what the Lord gives. You see how dependent the Lord's children are. When he meets with them, he deals with them, he brings them to his feet, he brings them to that place of submission, and then he teaches them. Who will understand doctrine can understand doctrine, but those that are drawn from the breast, that are weaned from the milk, precept is upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that's how the Lord is leading you, poor sinner. A little here and a little there. Perhaps you say, I'm not growing much. I'm not learning much. Don't seem to be able to attain to much. Sin is mixed with all that I do. In fact, there are times when I feel that I must be the chiefest of sinners. This shall not be the same. Oh, he says, I will overturn. I will overturn. I will overturn it. And so the Lord will teach us this, that he is in complete control of your destination. He is in complete control of your life. He is in complete control. And he will overturn. And he will overturn. And he will overturn it. All those things that he sees are not fit for you, are not good for you. And he will overturn them. And you may in your rebellion, and in your stubbornness, and in your pride, and in your wickedness, Try again to do that which the Lord has already shown to you that he has overturned. I will overturn. I will overturn, overturn, overturn. Three times he says it. The work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, involved in this work of grace, this work in the heart of a sinner. This shall not be the same. Oh, perhaps you fear, you look to this year and you think, it's going to be the same. The enemy will have me again. The enemy will deceive me again. I'll fall again just as I've done in the past year. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my fears. It won't be long before I slip again. Though the Lord puts me back upon the rock, places me firmly upon that solid ground, the buffetings of the enemy will cause me to slip again. Will cause me to slide again. The buffetings of Satan. He says to you, child of God, take unto you the whole armour of God. And you need the whole armour. It's not just parts of it. You need that shield of faith because of the fiery darts of the wicked one. I mentioned this morning of the warfare. The devil is always looking for a place to shoot those fiery darts. And if you're exposed, if you're not praying for this heavenly armour, you're not praying for that shield of faith whereby you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, be sure of this, the enemy will not miss his mark. Because he knows exactly where to shoot at you. He knows exactly how to wound you. He knows exactly how to bring you down. And lay you low. Therefore take unto you the whole armour of God, the shield of faith, whereby you shall quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. But you will also need the breastplate of righteousness. Your heart needs protection. This wandering heart. This heart, though, that if it's not kept by the grace of God, will go after idols. This heart will go after the world. It will go after anything, but it will not go after the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be kept, and kept daily. It shall not be the same. Now the Lord will teach you how much you need this armour. He will teach you this, that even your very thoughts, if you have not the helmet of salvation, even if he is not guarding your head, that even your thoughts will be carried away. And you see, sometimes we don't realize. We don't realize that we're being attacked by the enemy. We come to pray, perhaps, private prayer. We come aside privately to pray. And we start to pray, and then suddenly our minds are drawn away to something. And we might be thinking about anything. And yet we came particularly to pray personally to the Lord, and yet our minds have wandered to something carnal, something perhaps foolish. And what it is, the Lord is showing us this. He's saying to us, it's the whole armour of God that you need. You need this helmet of salvation, because if you have not put it on by faith, every time you come to my throne of grace, the enemy will carry away your thoughts. And those of you that are children of God, you know that I'm speaking the truth to you. And those of you that are not, do not know this. You're ignorant to it. You have no realization of the power of this enemy, this adversary, that attacks you on every hand. He is at your right hand to resist you. We have that account in Zechariah, when Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan was at his right hand to resist him. So wherever you are, when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to doing those things which are right in the sight of God, there will be opposition from the enemy, the adversary of your soul. And those of you who have been quickened into divine life, you know what it is to have this warfare. There's a conflict, and it's a daily conflict. It's not something whereby you can lay down the heavenly armour and think, well, I fought last week and I don't need that armour this week. Because the Lord will teach you this. You need the armour and you need it day and night. When you wake in the night, you need that armour. You need to pray that it might be put upon you. Even when you go for your night's rest, pray that you might be kept through the night. Because this enemy has power to terrify you through dreams and visions of the night. That's the power that he wields. But there's a greater than him. And this is why God instructs us to take the whole armour of God. It's a battlefield. It's an enemy's land. It's not your rest. It's polluted. And as you come through this wilderness, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. The enemy wants to take your soul. That's what it's all about. Is to take your soul. And those of you, perhaps some of you, who don't know these things, and you may be saying now in your heart, what's he talking about? What's this conflict? What's this warfare? I don't have any problem with the enemy of souls. I don't have any problem with the devil, with Satan. What's this warfare? Let me tell you this. If that's what you're thinking now, if that's what you can say now, this afternoon, the devil already has your heart. And the devil already has control over everything that you do. Because where there's divine life, there'll be conflict. I knew what it was like in my younger days. And I'd hear the minister talking about these things. And I would sit there. And I would think, what's he talking about? Conflict? Warfare? Attacks by the enemy? The devil? I don't have any problems with that. I don't have any trouble from him. He doesn't give me any trouble. But you see, we're born wrong. We're born into the kingdom of darkness. We grow up in the kingdom of darkness. Yes, we might read our Bibles. We may attend the house of God. But we're born in the kingdom of darkness. And we need to be translated from that kingdom. And it's solemn, isn't it, if we don't know that. Because we don't know it. We're brought up. Strict Baptists. We come into the house of God and we don't know that we're in the kingdom of darkness. We don't know that we've been born into that kingdom. That we're growing up in that kingdom. We're walking around in that kingdom. And yet that's exactly where we are. And it's no trouble to us. As long as we're fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, and the desires, the carnal desires of our hearts and our minds, there's no conflict and there's no trouble in our souls. Because we're dead. We're dead. We're dead to the things of God. We're alive to the world. To all those things which allure us, and bring us further and further along the broad way that leads to destruction. But this shall not be the same. This shall not be the same. It's our mercy if Christ stops us. It will be our mercy if he changes our heart. And turns us right around so that we're walking in the opposite direction. Then you'll meet with the enemy. Then you'll meet face to face with the devil himself. And you'll know what a conflict it is. People laugh today. People mock and scoff, and the devil will have them do it. Because he knows that they can go on laughing, and they can go on scoffing, and they can go on mocking. Because if they're not awakened, if they're not quickened into divine life, that enemy will have them at last. That enemy will have them at last. This shall not be the same. I will overturn it. It shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Well, I believe that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who will come at last with all his holy angels. When it, as it's written in the Revelation, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ. And so that day is coming. Yes, it will not be the same, will it? It will not be the same when he comes. He will put down all power and authority that men wield and devils. He will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's his name. That's that name that he has upon his thigh when we read in the Revelations he comes on the white horse. It's a war horse to make war. Yes, to tread that winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. And that day's coming. That day's coming, but does it bring fear, godly fear, when we think of these things? Do we sit there, or do we come to the house of God this afternoon, and while we come to the house of God, remember this, the devil comes as well. He'll sit right next to you, and he'll say to you this afternoon, he'll say, don't you worry about these things, because he doesn't know when Christ's coming. Because the word of God tells you that no man knows the day nor the hour. And so the enemy, he comes up beside you very quietly, and he just whispers, and he comes into your mind. You don't have to concern yourself about these things. You don't have to worry about these things, because after all, they've been preached for thousands of years and Christ hasn't come yet. And that's what he does. That's how he comes, and that's how he works in the mind and the hearts of men and women, and they listen to what he says. And they believe it because they want to believe it. They believe it because they still love the world. They believe it because they think they can have one foot in the chapel, we can have one foot in the world. It's all right to have a little bit of the world. It's all right to have a little bit of chapel. That's what the devil says. And we take it in, don't we? Why? Because we're such carnal, desperately wicked sinners. We want to believe what the devil tells us, because he's always pointing out the pathway of ease. He says, follow that. Just follow that pathway of ease. It's easy if you follow this pathway. You can still have your religion. You can still attend the house of God. And you'll still get to heaven at last. The Lord will pass by these little sins. You just keep doing your best, trying your best, going to the house of God, speaking the language, wearing the clothing, making your appearance every Lord's day. Just keep doing that. It'll be all right in the end. That's what the devil deceives you with, and you listen to it. Because you want that. You want that kind of religion. It's easy. It's flesh pleasing. It's that religion that you can rest in. Your carnal, sinful flesh can rest in it. But the Lord says, it shall not be the same. It's time to awake. It's time to be diligent. It's time to strive to enter in. Because there's a straight gate. It won't always be open. But it's open now. For the poor and the needy that knock by the way. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because the devil will strive.
He'll strive against you. So there's a need. There's a need to be kept upon our watchtower. There's a need to be diligent. There's a need to keep crying to God for prayer. For prayer, because you don't have prayer. None of us have prayer. You don't have prayer. It doesn't come naturally. It's the gift of God. It comes from heaven. And we've got to pray for prayer. We've got to cry for prayer. Because we don't have it. We can never achieve that. It's the gift of God. Behold, he prayeth. Why? Because Christ met him on the road to Damascus. Because Christ begun the good work of grace in his soul. And we don't have anything. We're completely dependent upon him to shield us, protect us, preserve us, strengthen us, help us to fight this good fight of faith. He is our conqueror. He is our captain, if we're his people. It shall not be the same. Think of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. They slept on right the way through until the bridegroom came. They were both doing the same thing, the foolish and the wise. It was the same to them. We were all doing the same. You may look at what you think are the Lord's people and you say, well, that's what they're doing. Don't see any reason why I can't do it. And you see how the enemy works. He might try and point out what he would have you believe one of the Lord's people. Say, well, look at what, don't you think that character is a gracious character, that person? They're doing that. They go to these places. They do this. They do that. You can do the same. And so they imitate the foolish. And so we have the parable of the wise doing the same as the foolish, sleeping. Because it was easy. It suited their sinful flesh. And that's what they did. Right up until the time when the bridegroom came. And then there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. But there's a difference then, isn't there? We see the difference. Those that had divine grace and those that had nothing. Nothing but an empty show. Nothing but an empty profession. Nothing but emptiness. It shall not be the same. Oh, we do need that divine grace. We do need the Lord to impart to us his Holy Spirit that we might walk humbly and obediently before him, because we're in an enemy's land. Does it feel like an enemy's land to you? Are you harassed by the enemy? Are you tempted by the enemy? I know this, that if you're the Lord's people, and you are, if you're a praying people, you are. There's a division, isn't there? When the bridegroom came, there was a division. A separation. the wise and the foolish, those that had divine grace and those that had none, the sheep from the goats, and the Lord's people will be separated. They'll be separated from the goats, and the goats will be separated from the sheep, and even the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is such a dividing and separating ministry, it cuts right down the middle. Because it searches us out. It shows to us perhaps what we are, full of the world, full of sin, full of enmity against the right and the true ways of God. He stirs us up, brings us to consider. Ah, but if there's no grace in our hearts, this dividing and separating gospel of Jesus Christ will fill us with wrath and enmity against God. This shall not be the same. Well, we're not the same, are we? If we've been made new creatures in Christ, we shall not be the same. There'll be those around us that will see that there's been a difference, there's been a change. They'll say, he's not the same man. She's not the same woman. There's been a gracious change. But has there been a change? We read in the scriptures that there were those that had not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Their scent remained in them. There'd been no change. Has there been a change? Because if there's not, and I ask you this question, how are you going to get to glory? How are you going to get there? Christ said you must be born again. There must be a change. There must be that impartation of the divine nature. And others must be able to see it. They see it in your walk. They see it in your conversation. This shall not be the same. That same old nature. There will be the divine nature implanted in the heart. The heart then that loves God, that loves his people, that loves his ways. A heart that has been humbled. A heart that has been stripped of all creature merit and self-righteousness. A heart that's been laid humbly at the feet of Jesus Christ. Then they're not the same. That new nature, which is divine. Yes, I will overturn it. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. You see how he brings the proud sinner low. And the poor sinner that's on the dunghill, he lifts him up. And he sets him with the princes of his people. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit. Yes, so there's a change. They're made new creatures in Christ. This shall not be the same. And so it doesn't matter what the enemy says. He may be tempting you, poor sinner, that this year is going to be just the same. There's going to be no growth. There's going to be no fruit. There's going to be Nothing different. Same temptations, the same mistakes, the same sins, the same sorrows. But the Word of God says this shall not be the same. I will work, and who shall let it? Who's going to hinder it? Who's going to stop it? Who's going to overturn the work of God in the heart of a sinner? Not men, not devils. For he that hath performed a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, this shall not be the same. Changes are coming. Changes are coming. Even in our lives, nothing will remain the same. We like to think it will. We like our homes, we like our families, we like all those good things. But our lives through various scenes are drawn, vexed with trifling cares. While thy eternal thought moves on, thy undisturbed affairs, it shall not be the same. Changes are coming. Perhaps we don't like change. We don't like the changes that are going to come, but all must come and last and end, as shall please my heavenly friend. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And that's the mercy, isn't it? That Christ changes not. He is immutably the same. He cannot change. The same yesterday and today and forever. This shall not be the same. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come, whose right it is, and I will give it him. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when Christ returns. You know, sometimes I think that I wonder whether there are people upon this earth now that, like Simeon, they have this promise that they shall still be here when Christ returns the second time. As though he would say to them, thou shalt not go over this Jordan of death. And they're watching, and they're praying, and they're waiting, that they might be ready when he comes. For what a day it will be. A tremendous day. When Christ appears. When there'll be those that run to the rocks and the mountains crying that they might fall upon them. To cover them. To hide them. From the wrath of the Lamb. What a tremendous day that will be. It's a day that will come. It's a day that's hastening on. We're hastening towards. And I will give it him whose right it is. Yes, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, may we be given that grace to cry to him now. Now is the day of salvation. It is now we need to cry to him that we might be made ready. Tomorrow may be too late. He says now is the accepted time. When the devil creeps up to you, he sits beside you and he says, don't worry about tomorrow. You know what you've got planned for tomorrow. You know what you hope to do for tomorrow. You keep your heart set upon that, your tomorrow. And that's how he will continually tempt you. That's how you will continually go on. The enemy keeps suggesting. He keeps presenting you with all these things that he knows that your carnal heart will run after. He knows what you're fond of. He knows what you like. He knows what you love. So we might say, he keeps baiting the hook. And you don't see the hook. Your eyes on the bait. But when you take that bait that the devil presents before you, you have to take the hook as well. And that's the painful part, isn't it? This shall not be the same. Are you praying for deliverance? Are you praying to be set free? Are you praying that you might not be the servant of sin and the devil? Are you praying for liberty? Are you praying to be released? Are you praying that you might have grace to serve him with reverence and godly fear? You're going to need the whole armour of God, poor sinner. You're going to need Christ and that almighty arm to lean upon because of this wilderness, because of this enemy's land. This is not your rest. It is polluted. Christ will keep you journeying onwards. He will keep you moving. He will stir up the nest and he will continually say to you, it's not your rest. You will not settle for second best. What he has prepared for his people is wonderful. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. And so he will not allow you to make this your rest. He will not allow you to settle because it's polluted, polluted with sin. This shall not be the same. Ah, perhaps you're hoping that it would be. Perhaps you say, but I'm settled now. I feel never been so settled. So settled as I am now. I feel to be settled. The Lord says, this shall not be the same. This year will not be the same. There'll be changes. There must be changes. I will overturn it. And it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. This shall not be the same. But I'll leave it there. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.